Take your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, please, chapter 13. Last two Sundays, we dealt with the parable that our Savior told of the sower. And this morning, I feel led to continue speaking of the next couple of parables here in Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the grain of mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. There's a reason that I want to look at both of these two parables together, though they encompass really just three verses in Matthew 13, because I think both of them show us something which really would be the title of the message or the point that I think the Spirit of God would have us make, and that it would be this: when small things get big. When small things become big. That's the essence of both of these parables of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 13 concerning the mustard seed and the leaven. But one is a good thing that should get big in your life that starts out small. And one thing is a very dangerous thing in your life and mine that can start out small and get rather big as well. Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 31, that's where we begin to read. Matthew 13, 31, the Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. God will bless the reading of his word. Would you ask God to speak to your heart as I will mine? Let's pray together. Father, we do pray you would speak to our hearts and show us the truths of these things out of thy word. You said these things, Lord, that you spoke were kept secret from the foundation of the world. And we pray that you would bring to light the things we need to understand in this hour, in our own hearts and minds. Lord, we pray that they would just not be warm bodies filling a pew, but open hearts to what the Spirit would say to each individual. And Lord, we'll thank you for the understanding, and we'll thank you for working in our hearts. And we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to say about these two parables, it says it's concerning the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you also look in the other passages where these parables are mentioned, which in the book of Mark, chapter 4, and also the book of Luke, chapter 13, the Bible says that these parables also apply to the kingdom of God. Now, some parables only apply to the kingdom of heaven. You say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God aren't the same thing, just like heaven is not the same thing as God. You know, God has a physical kingdom and he has a spiritual kingdom. He will have a physical kingdom. We're waiting for the day when Christ Jesus comes back to this earth and sets up a physical kingdom upon this earth. And until that happens, everything's going to be a mess. That's just the truth. And so the kingdom of heaven really deals with the fact that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years upon this earth. Whereas the kingdom of God, the Bible speaks of the kingdom of God being within you. But the truth is that there are some things in the Bible that apply both to the physical time when Christ will be upon this earth and should apply to the things in our hearts as he rules and reigns in our hearts. So these two parables that we have before us this morning apply to both of those things. Now, when we come to the understanding of these parables, It is not like he did in the parable of the sower when after the parable was spoken, he went into a great explanation to his disciples of what that would be. He doesn't give us that in Matthew chapter 13 or in the other passages. So how are we to know what Jesus is trying to say through these parables? Well, the Bible is its own dictionary, and the Bible defines itself, and if you'll read the Bible enough, what is mentioned in one passage will be shown much more light upon that in another passage of Scripture. And so the Word of God is going to tell us exactly what this mustard seed is all about. I mean, without it, I mean, what do I care about a mustard seed growing, you know? There's some spiritual significance to this mustard seed. And there's some spiritual significance to this leaven. And even so, the Bible gives us the definition of the mustard seed and the definition of the leaven, but he gives it to us in another place. And I'd say this, if you don't understand something in the Bible, don't give up. You just hadn't read enough. Amen. You need to keep reading. The answers are there. You just need to dig a little deeper. The Bible is God's gold mine, and some people just don't dig within it. But the parables that he's given here, he's giving them in a way because people's hearts are really not ready to receive them. Would you look back in the same chapter in Matthew 13? He said in verse number 13, he tells us why he was speaking in parables. He gives us the reason for that. Matthew 13, verse 13, the Bible says, therefore, Jesus speaking, therefore speak I to them in parables because, this is why he gave these stories, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. You know, you can hear the message this morning and not really hear the message. And the Bible says in verse, keep reading verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15, look at it. For this people's heart, you see that? So all these parables are something that are geared to the heart of a man. And without the right heart, he's not going to understand. So the Lord gives the story in a parable. Verse 15 again. For this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Now watch this. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their what? If you have never really underlined something in your Bible, you ought to underline that right there. You understand things with your heart, not your head. That's what Jesus said. You see that? He says, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. So why do people not understand what Jesus was saying? It's a heart problem. It's something in their heart that is not opened to God to understand, to really hear, to really see, to really know, to really understand. The multitudes followed him for what they could get out of him. The multitudes followed him because of the spectacle maybe that was wrought or because others were there. But there were few people there that really had an open heart to really want to know and understand what Christ Jesus was saying to them. And still today, there's still the same truth is today. Look at verse 34. I read this at the end of our two parables this morning. Matthew 13, 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. In other words, the Lord is only going to tell you as much as you are willing to hear, as you are willing to receive. God is only going to deal with your heart and show you truth if you are open to that truth. And I tell you what we ought to do with God. We ought to have an open heart for God and say, God, whatever you want to tell me, whatever you want to change, whatever you want to correct, however you want to admonish, my heart is opened, I'm willing to hear. And the Bible tells us also in another text that as they were able to hear it, he told us, is our heart able to hear the Word of God this morning? Now, let's get into our two parables, all right? When small things get big. Verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Y'all know what mustard seed looks like? I mean, there's all types of mustard plants. You understand that? But if I had a mustard seed in my fingers this morning, which I do not, but if I did, it would really, you might be able to see it, but it's very small. It's a very small thing. And the Bible said in verse 32, it is indeed the least of all seeds. So this is a very small thing. A grain of a mustard seed is very small. Even so is with leaven, as we get in the next parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. You ladies that are doing baking for Christmas this year, and I'm sure you're going to put some yeast or some leavening agent and make some things rise and make those good yeast rolls and all that. That's what the leaven is. And it doesn't take but a little bit of yeast to make a big loaf of bread rise. The little thing can affect something and cause it to be bigger. Both of these parables are pointing that out. Now, what is the mustard seed? In Matthew chapter 17, just turn over a few pages, and Jesus tells you. In other words, if you'd kept reading the Bible, if they'd have stayed with Jesus, had an open heart, he would have showed them what that mustard seed is. Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 20. Matthew 17, 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have what? Faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So this little thing of a mustard seed in Matthew 17, 20 is likened unto someone's faith. And if I just had mustard seed faith, then bigger things can happen with a little bit of faith. You understand that? So a little thing of faith can remove a big obstacle. Something that is small can become something very big. Now the same thing with leaven. Jesus says, look back a chapter in Matthew 16. So the explanation of the leaven and the explanation of the mustard seed is just a few chapters away from where it was given. Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the what? The leaven, you see that? The leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So leaven is something that Jesus is telling them to beware of. It's not a good thing. It is a dangerous thing. Verse 11 of Matthew 16. How is it that you do not understand? Remember, you understand with what? With your heart. Even the disciples here didn't understand. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Verse 12, then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the what? Of the doctrine. We're going to get to a few more things about that leaven, but it's not a good thing. So here is a good thing, a mustard seed, that could move mountains if I had faith like that. Faith can grow. And here is a bad thing, leaven, that Jesus says to beware of, warns us of, that maybe starts small, but it also can grow and affect all of my life. Now, the mustard seed as faith. You know, as you look at faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus said, or the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please God. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It takes faith to serve God. The just shall live by faith. We have to live by faith. We serve God by faith. Faith is a foundational principle of our lives. It has to be laid in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth is, when he mentions this mustard seed faith, he said, if you had that much faith, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed. You know, that's an impossibility, isn't it? It is an impossibility to move a mountain. Now, of course, we can preach all types of spiritual applications and preach, I got this big mountain in my life and it needs to be moved. And I understand that. But Jesus said, you could say to this mountain. I don't know which one he pointed to. But, you know, Jesus Christ can move a mountain. If Jesus Christ can walk on water, he can move a mountain. If Jesus Christ can make a mountain, he can move a mountain. You understand what I'm saying? The creator of heaven and earth is not limited to what he can do. In other words, we serve and believe in a God of the impossible. And faith is not faith in what we know or what we can do, but our faith rests in a God that is able to do the impossible. Mark 10:27 says, with God, all things are possible. Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And we need to understand that our faith, the faith that's in our heart, needs to grow. It needs to get bigger. And though it may be very small, we can come to the Lord like the disciples did to Jesus and say, increase our faith. We live in a day, if you ask people what they believe in themselves. They really do. They believe in themselves. God is simply asking us to believe in Him. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And if you can believe God for your soul's salvation, if you can believe God through what he said about himself in the Bible, then you ought to be able to believe God with every step of your life. But there are people that put a doubt toward what God said, what God's working in their heart. They don't trust him fully. You know, this time of year, Christmas time. It is strange that when you look at Christmas time and you look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll run into faith. You'll run into the impossible. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1 when the angel came to Mary and told her of that one that's to be born of her, that she is a virgin, will conceive. And of course, she how's this going to happen? I've never known a man, and this is an impossible thing. And the angel says in Luke 1:37-4, with God nothing shall be impossible. And you know, the truth is, there's so many people that talk about Christmas today, but it takes faith to even believe in Christmas. Now look, I'm not talking about faith in Santa Claus. But there are more people that have faith in Santa Claus than they do Jesus. Amen. And instead of crawling on top of the big fat man with a long white beard, amen, if people would approach God, if people would go to God instead of bringing a list to an imaginary man, if they would bring their request and let them be made known unto God. You can't believe in the Christmas story without believing in a God that does the impossible. The virgin birth. I would say this. I would say the majority of people that even say they believe the Christmas story don't believe that Jesus Christ was literally conceived in a virgin's womb. You go to somebody and say, hey, do you believe that Jesus Christ had an earthly father? If so, you have no faith. You don't believe in Christmas. You don't believe in the Word of God. And whatever else that you've concocted, it's a story that's not rooted in faith. And God starts foundationally wanting us to believe in Him. He that cometh to God must believe. I believe the record that you gave of your Son. I believe what you said. Now remember, just like we understand with our hearts, we believe in our hearts, for with the heart man believeth, not the head. It's not just, you know, some story we heard or memorized, but it's something in our heart that we believe. Yes, I believe God is the God of the impossible. And yes, I put my soul's salvation, my faith in Him. How many people trust their church? You trust this church, you'll go to hell. This church can't save you. People have faith in their baptism, they have faith in communion, they have faith in their good works, they have faith in their fellow man. And God says, forget all that. You need to have faith in God. Even if it's small. You know what we've been going through, and we'll pick it back up again tonight in 2 Peter. We've been going through some epistles talking about how we can grow in the Lord. How we can grow in the Lord though we are in the midst of apostasy, though we are in the midst of a dark world, a sinful place. Though all the circumstances around us are not conducive to godliness. The Bible lets me know that I can grow in the Lord. How can I grow in the Lord? I can grow in the Lord with that little faith as a grain of mustard seed. And the Bible says, though it's the least, that it grew into a tree. I mean, that little bitty seed grew into a tree. The Bible tells us in Luke that it grew into a great tree. little bitty herb, a little bitty spice, and yet it can grow big. Let me ask you, do you trust God more now than you used to? Has your faith increased? You know what the Bible says about the Thessalonian Christians? He says, man, I just praise God for you because your faith, listen, your faith groweth exceedingly. It started out as a little bit. You came to God by faith and just believed what he said about you, that you're a sinner. Right? Some people can't even make that step. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I don't believe that. That every man without Christ deserves to go to hell. I don't believe that. Well, everybody's good. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said we're all evil. That's what Jesus said. It'd be a great day when you wake up and say, Lord, I just believe what you said. I'm evil. I need to repent. I'm a sinner. And when the Thessalonian Christians came to God, they believed what he said just a little bit. It shouldn't take a whole lot of faith to believe you're a sinner. You know why? Because you know you. Unless you've deceived your own heart. You know what goes through that brain. You know what comes through that mouth. You know what's done in the shadows. Doesn't take a whole lot of faith to believe God and agree with God that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. But it does take faith. And takes faith to believe that gospel that Christ died for those sins. And he was buried and he rose from the dead according to the scriptures to pay for all that, that you can't pay. Those Thessalonian Christians believed that gospel. But it didn't stay there. It began to grow. And they had more confidence in God. And they had more confidence in the Word of God. And before long, that church of Corinth, or that church of Thessalonica, and in their individual lives, they became a tree. Just like the Bible speaks in Psalm 1. They should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm asking you this morning, are you growing in your Christian life? And you don't grow in your Christian life because of what you can do and what you can accomplish and how smart you are. You grow in the Christian life because you put faith in God and you put confidence in God and you put confidence in what God said to you, and you receive that into your heart and you believe it, and as you believe God, your life begins to grow and your life begins to please God. Has your faith in Christ grown into a tree? Has it blossomed and bloomed and become what God wants it to be? But I see something else in this. That's a really good story. The little mustard seed grew into something big. But watch this in verse 32 of Matthew 13. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown. You know, that's a problem. Some people don't ever grow up. You know how you can tell a grown up? A grown up takes responsibility. Isn't that what grown ups do? We're responsible enough to pay the bills and right? And somebody that's never grown up, it doesn't matter how old they are, they just can't take responsibility for anything. You know, you need to grow up more than just physically. You need to grow up spiritually. Don't be satisfied with where you are with God. That's why God's given you a Bible. That's why God's given saved people the Holy Spirit. That's why God's given us a church to help us grow, that our faith would increase and to grow so we won't stay in the same place we are. The Bible says when it is grown, go back to our verse here that we're reading, verse 32. When it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the what? The birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. What are these birds? Well, look back in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus, about the parable of the sower, told us about these birds. Matthew 13, verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the what? The fowls came and devoured them up. Now, what are these birds? What are these fowls that are coming and eating the good seed? There's nothing wrong with the seed, right? It's a good seed. It's God's seed. It's the Word of God. But the fowls are devouring it up. The tree that we're reading about, it's a good tree. It's a grown tree. It's likened unto a tree that was grown by faith. But there are birds there. What are these birds? Drop down to verse 19 of Matthew 13. The Bible says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the what? The wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. I won't go into all the details. I might read a verse in a moment about it. But these birds are likened unto the wicked one. These birds are likened unto Satan or the devil or the devils of hell that seek to take away that good thing that was done. That good word of God. Or that good thing of faith. You see, Jesus Christ in Matthew 13 not only sows the seed of the word of God, he sows the seed of faith. His faith. His faith in my heart. Have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. Our faith is derived from him and is in me. And Jesus is trying to sow the word of God in people's heart. And he's trying to sow faith in people's heart. But in both instances, there are birds there. There are fowls there. There is an enemy there. There's opposition there that tries to steal away what God has grown. Steal away what God has planted. Steal away what God is trying to do in the lives of those. Look, Jesus Christ is trying to do a work in your heart. But the fowls of the air and the birds of the devil are trying to snatch away what God's doing in your heart. And the truth about the parable of the mustard seed is that though it has become a tree and the faith has grown, the birds are just sitting on the branches waiting. Mark's gospel says that they're sitting in the shadows. Matthew says these birds are on the branches. And listen now. While the sower works, the fowls wait. While the servants work, the devils wait to try to stop and destroy and hinder what God is trying to do by faith, what God is trying to do through his word. And the birds just sit there in the shadows. You know what Paul said? Paul said in Romans 7:21, and you ought to remember this. Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. I don't know. I've heard that said, so I repeat that. I mean, anybody who wrote half the New Testament had to be, you know, pretty close. Died for the Lord. He said this in Romans 7:21, I find then a law. It's just, that's the way it is. I find then a law that when I would do good, here's my tree. I put faith in the Lord. Man, things have grown in my life. Things have progressed. Man, Lord, I've come a long way from the life you brought me from when I got saved. When I first put faith in you, you brought me a long way. And the seed of faith took root in my heart. And now you've grown a tree in my life. But Paul says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Always in our life. Listen, do you understand? Right here in church this morning, there is a fowl that's hanging on your branch or that's working in the shadows to try to destroy everything that God is trying to do in your heart even this morning. And when you go home, when you walk through this place and you go back to your place of wherever you are, the Lord will go with you and the Lord will speak to you and the Word of God's going with you. But you know what else is going to go back with you and what's going to be hanging on your branch and on your shadow? The fowls and the devils of hell of this world that's going to try to destroy what God's trying to grow in your life. You say, what do we do about all those birds? Well, let me ask you a question. What do you do about birds? You shoot them. That's good, Larry. I didn't think about that. I was going to say shoo them away, but I like the shooting part better. Boom! I mean, those birds will get in there and it'll destroy the grain. It'll peck at everything that's good and healthful. There's a story in the Old Testament about a lady that her sons were hung up and she's risping. She sat there And she just kept shooing away the birds. Listen. She kept shooing away the birds. You know, evil's always going to... And I tell you what. That book says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And there's nobody sitting in this room. I don't care how big your tree is or how great your tree is. There is a bird on your branch. And you know what you need to do? You need to routinely shoo the birds away. That's why Edgar Allan Poe was a freak. Amen. Those birds are dirty. Those birds need to be shooed away. Get away. Don't want you on my branch. I want God to have his way in my life. I want the things of God to grow. I don't want you to be in the shadow of my life having precedence over what God's trying to do. I want to trust in the shadow of his wings. But no matter how much we do, the birds are there. And you better get you a good shooer away is all I'm trying to say. And that's, a lot of people don't even see them there on the branch. They don't even see them there in the shadows. No wonder Jesus told us, hey, you better be praying to the Father to lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Why? Because the bird's on the branch. Jesus said, I grew this great thing out of something small. You better be careful about all those birds. That leads us into the next parable. Look at verse 33. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, there are liberals and others and Catholic theologists as well. This is the gospel that's spreading throughout the whole world, and the church is doing this as a woman. But that's categorically false, because every reference in the New Testament to leaven is something that is bad, something you need to beware of, something you need to get out. It's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. Furthermore, God does not refer to his church as a woman. He refers to us as his bride. We are, or his wife, we are a spouse to him, to be his bride, to be his wife. As a chaste virgin, he says, but not a woman. But here's this woman. This woman is taking something, and she's this leaven, this leavening agent, and she's going to put it in three measures of meal, and that leaven will spread through all the meal and affect every basket or every bushel or every measure, just like you put good seed into the soil, something good comes out, like this mustard seed or the seed of the Word of God. This woman, not the Son of Man. Remember, the sower was the Son of Man. The sower was the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. But the woman is sowing something else to spread something else. And though it is a little thing, it has great effect. Hold your finger there. Would you go to Revelation 20? Or let Revelation 2. Everybody with me? Everybody all right? Revelation chapter 2, real quick. This woman trying to sow something in the measures of meal. You guys know what meal does? What does meal do? What does it make? Makes bread, doesn't it? Sure it does. Makes bread. There can be all types of meal. Is ground by a millstone, right? And that meal can be any type of meal. But when it's ground up, then you make bread out of it. Now listen, you know the only other time there were three measures of meal in the Bible, you have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 18 and you find Abraham. And there were three that came to Abraham from God, and one was God himself, but there were three. Three angels, they came to Abraham. The Lord was among them. And those three came to God. And Abraham went to, listen. He went to his wife. He said, you need to prepare three measures of meal to the woman. And he brings, because each of these men need to have something to eat. If you look at the measure of the meal is going to be each for a man to eat. I say all that to say this. this meal that is being leavened is going to be turned into what someone else eats. You know what the devil's trying to do? The devil's trying to mess with your food. He's trying to put something into your food. And whatever you feed on is what you're going to become. And this woman comes and puts something into the food. And we never had a day where people have assaulted the Word of God and tried to add to the food and take away from the food. Leave the Bible alone. It has all the words in it. Leave this King James Bible alone. I don't need anybody else to take it away or add something to it. God said, you add to this book, I'm going to add some plagues in your life. And what the devil has done, he's messed with the food of the church. And he's put leaven in the food. And the leaven is not a good thing. A woman has done that. Look at Revelation 2. I told you to turn there. I'll read it now. Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding. Now this is written to the church. Verse 18, the church in Thyatira. And verse 20 says, Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that what? See that? That woman, Jezebel. Well, we know about Jezebel from the Old Testament. You know what that means? There's still some Jezebels. There's still some false women. There's still some false religions. There's still some false influences in people's lives. And trying to gain influence in the church. Because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce. Hey, look up here. Women aren't supposed to teach men. I don't care how many women preachers are on the radio. We used to know better than that. Don't let a woman put something in your food. So, well, that sounds very chauvinistic. I don't care what it sounds like. I just believe the Bible. You say, well, you can't say that today. It's impossible. Well, with God, all things are possible. And we don't serve a Virgin Mary. We serve the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. We don't have a feminine religion. We're living in a day where everything's trying to be feminized. I heard the other day, he said, well, if you want to get rid of all of our sexual harassment, just get rid of all the men and elect all women. Just get rid of all the men. Let the men run the church. Let the women run the government. Let the women run the church. And you know what you'll have? You'll have leaven in your food. I didn't mean to get on that, but that's where it went. This Jezebel called herself a prophetess. What's a woman on the radio, on the TV? The Myers woman or what? Joyce Myers. Puke, people. God didn't want you to listen to that mess. You said, why would you say that in a good church? Well, you need to hear it, I guess. I don't want a woman putting leaven in your meal. I don't care who she is. Doesn't matter who she is. A prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And Revelation chapter 17, look at that real quick, please. There is a woman that's trying to spread something very small and make it become something very big to destroy the work of God that he works through his word and through his food for his people. Revelation chapter 17, the Bible says, verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness and I saw a what? Doesn't that match what we're reading? I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Merry Christmas. Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. In chapter 18, he keeps talking about this woman. Look at chapter 18, verse 2. Watch this. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful what? See how the woman's connected with the bird? 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. In other words, this woman has influenced the whole world with her leaven. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Get away from this woman. Get away from false religion. Get away from anyone that's taking precedence over the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that God chose to be your redeemer and the sower that's sowing something in your heart and giving you the good food and the bread of life and the word of God. And don't let any other false religion or sin put something in your food. Don't let that leaven spread in your life. 3 things that I'm just going to give them to you because, well, turn to 1 Corinthians 5 before I just give them to you. Leaven. What is the leaven? Okay, preacher, because really, if you don't even care who the woman is, you need to care what the leaven is. All right? Because you've got to spot the leaven in your life. You know, the Bible said in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole what? Whole lump. So it only takes, I'm talking about when small things get big. It only takes a little leaven to take over your life. It only takes a little leaven to take over a church. It only takes a little leaven to take over a family. It only takes a little leaven to take over a whole country. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So I need to recognize what the leaven is and I need to get it out. Now we already read one thing. He said the doctrine of the Pharisees was leaven. So false doctrine, bad doctrine. And we've already mentioned some of that this morning. Bad doctrine is a leaven in your life. So what does it matter if I believe whether Mary never had any other children besides Jesus? Because it's a false doctrine. Amen. What does it matter if I believe that, you know, the mass is receiving Christ? It's a false doctrine. And false doctrine will leaven your life. Well, in Corinthians here, chapter 5, I think it's, we'll start reading verse 16 real quick. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, no, not verse 6, I'm sorry. He says in chapter 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now watch, church, watch. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of what? You know what will destroy your life? The leaven of malice in your heart. Quit being mad at everybody. It's not just false doctrine that will ruin your life. It's malice. It's the things of the heart. And that woman, that devil is going to want to put some malice, some hatred in your heart. And it doesn't even matter what it's about. The leaven of malice leavens the whole lump. The leaven of malice and what? Wickedness. The devil's trying to put some wickedness in your heart. And look now. I'm talking about when small things get big. And a little bit of wickedness will go a long way in your life. He says in verse 8, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God says, what I want in your life is sincerity. What I want in your life is truth. And that's the other passage. He talks about the leaven in Luke 12, 1. He says that leaven is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is leaven. You just going along and looking one way when inside it's not that way. And you look like you love Jesus, but inside you really don't. And you look like you're committed to the things of God, but inside you're not. That's the leaven that'll leaven our hearts away from the sincerity of God. Oh, that we would come to God so our tree could continue to grow in sincerity and truth. And Lord, I really want to love you and I really want to serve you and I really want to heed your word. And I want that fake part. I want that fake part out of my life. You know, I just got to say this. And I like giving gifts, and Christmas time's great, wonderful. But you know what? This time of year, I'm telling you the truth, there is so much insincerity, it ought to choke you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Somebody goes to church, it never goes to church. Right. Somebody that gives a gift that would never give a gift. Put a smile and, oh, I love you. I came to the Christmas party to tell you I love you. And you go, man, I hate your guts. I don't want to ever see you again. Work parties. I'm not saying everybody's insincere. I'm just saying it's loaded with insincerity. Loaded with hypocrisy. And God says, you know, when it comes to me and you, get all that hypocrisy out. Get the insincerity out. And come to me with a sincere heart. And then you won't just get a parable. You'll get some truth in your life that'll continue to make your life grow. I'm finished. God came to the Israelites and he said this in Exodus. He said, I want you to get the leaven out of your house. Well, the only bad thing was if the leaven was in their food, because they had to eat unleavened bread. But God says this, no, I don't even want it in your house, because if it's a little bit in your house, you're going to be tempted to put it in your food. So go home and get all the leaven out of your house. And then he said this in Exodus, I don't even want to see leaven with you. I don't even want you to be around it. Get out the leaven. Be sincere before God and let faith take root in your heart and not sin. And let God grow something instead of letting the birds sit on the branches of your life and destroy your tree. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.